What are you having to drink tonight, Chris?
Thinking about trying me a good dark stout beer tonight. Gonna try an Allagash Black.
Ooh, Allagash. Mm.
So I was looking at this one and I was kind of interested in.
Yeah, where does this come from?
Well, what I was gonna say is I was looking this up and I was curious, like, what a stout is. Like, when somebody says that, and they said it's usually you hear the two styles are between a stout and a porter.
Yeah,
and that's typically your darker beers.
Mm-hmm.
And historically speaking, the first of the two, which is the porter, so there was two different styles that are generally described when you're talking about your darker beers,
mm-hmm.
and that is a stout and a porter. So when I was looking this up to understand, like, what was the difference,
mm-hmm.
Apparently the stout is the oldest of the two types of beer, and they were born about 300 years ago in the English brown ales of the time.
Ooh. So you would say they are stout, perhaps?
Very stout.
Whew.
Absolutely.
It'll get you drunk.
Stout porters of the pub. So anyways, we were talking about Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
And we probably said this before, but we grew up with Star Wars, like the original films.
That was just the only Star Wars we had ever known, was the original films.
Yeah, and I feel like we've also said that before. We watched them on Laserdisc.
Oh,
back
yeah.
Back when they were a big thing.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so we've
I'm
been...
I'm telling you there's a difference in the quality about that stuff. I'm serious, there really is.
Maybe there was.
The sound and the picture quality are just different. I can't pinpoint it.
So anyways, though, we've been fans of Star Wars, the Star Wars series, mm-hmm. for most of our lives, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we followed the prequels, and
oh, yeah.
then, you know, you had things come out like the Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you followed that quite a bit. But I know that we both sort of shared a disappointment about the recent films that came out.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about
a deeply divided issue, right? A deeply divisive issue.
Well, I mean, explain why it's so upsetting the way they turn out the way they did.
Well, to me, I don't think the films, and if you don't really have to follow Star Wars or even really know what's going on, because you can probably relate this thought pattern to another thing that you really love as far as movies go. If you love Harry Potter, or if you love Lord of the Rings, and you can kind of understand how this feels then. But for me, we had started with the beginning of it and got to live as kids through the next jump into it, which were the prequels, of how everything comes to be in this great story arc that spans over many years and many different characters. So the whole story...
Your protagonist...
Well, the whole story from the beginning kind of gravitates towards one character, Luke Skywalker. He's kind of the main character. Even whenever you go back to the prequels, it's still alluding to the events that are coming.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, so then Disney buys the rights to Star Wars, this big monumental deal. It's a big deal. And going into it, it's kind of, well, I don't know. I mean, you know, they're...
We'll see.
I trust them with other things. I trust them with other things, so why not? So what happens?
Yeah.
And then you just see a lot of things you disagree with as far as direction goes in the movies that begin to release. And one of the biggest problems, spoiler alert here, for Star Wars, which one would it be? Episode 8. Spoiler alert. I have to kind of unveil this, right?
Yeah, right.
I have to kind of unveil this to give you the idea of what's happened. Spoiler alert for episode 8 of Star Wars. You've been warned. So they kill Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
They kill the main character. And I won't go into details of how it happens, but it kind of starts at a really good pace, and you're extremely curious and intrigued by what's happening because you're seeing this great battle unfold with the hero. The hero that all of this time, it's all led up to kind of a moment like this. And then that moment is kind of like a, I'm trying to think of a good, what's a good analogy?
Shattered.
It's shattered. It's like this. Oh, it's like this glass lens you've been looking through this whole time, watching these amazing characters and stories unfold, and it culminates to one of these major points right here. And then all of a sudden, the glass lens shatters, and it's this moment that's kind of just abruptly disrupted. But at the same time, you have to accept the fact that an experience is coming to an end for you. A really incredible experience, a really cool ride you got to be on for the majority of your life. Well,
you said it was like you always knew it was coming.
Yeah. You always knew like it was culminating to this one moment.
And you're like, that's it?
And that's how they did it.
That's it.
And
that's,
it caused a lot of problems.
So you're sitting there and that's how you feel. You're like,
And wow. I was kind of like, man.
Not sure how I feel about that.
I trusted you.
So you told me that you really had wished that they had just given the guy who produced the Clone Wars.
Yeah. There's a guy.
His name is Dave Filoni. That, right.
This guy's name is Dave Filoni. Mm-hmm. He's a really interesting character. So Dave Filoni, I don't know, like, his deep history. I'm not really sure how he even initially became involved in this. But at some point in time, a show began to get developed after one of the prequel movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it was geared towards children.
Right.
And it was on, like, one of the Cartoon Network shows or something. So there was this guy involved in this project, and he became the guy leading it. He was kind of the lead writer of the show. Well, the interesting thing about him is he actually talked with the creator of Star Wars, George Lucas, quite often. And they would discuss different plot lines and different ideas. Because as the show went on, it becomes a little bit darker. Like, you can tell that the storyline has started to mature. And they're kind of taking Star Wars in a new direction. And it's really fascinating. It's interesting.
Yeah, it's actually...
It starts out...
Very well done.
It's very well done. The voice acting is really good. The dialogue and even the stories are really cool.
Right.
They even bring back, like, some really interesting characters from the original movies. It's fascinating to see these stories expand, and you're getting, like, a lot more of background on all of these characters that you kind of... And learning new stuff about this universe that has been a really enjoyable experience for you. And then an event that impactful happens, and they close out a saga, and one you followed ever since you can remember. You've experienced it for a good portion of your life. And then it's gone. It's gone. And then now it's on to the new decade and stuff. And they did a lot of things cool I really enjoyed. They did a lot of things I really didn't.
Yeah. Do you feel like it just kind of...
It's a passionate nerd speech right there, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, but I think it's interesting, though.
Well,
you know? And to me, it was important. I'd be interested still to see the future of Star Wars. I mean, I think that maybe there have been other people that have expressed the same issues that you have, and maybe Disney or whoever's taking charge of that can heed that advice and... Do better.
Well, let the artist be the artist, man.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
That's what you need. You don't need a big name director behind your movies.
And you mentioned very well earlier. You said that the thing about Star Wars is the targeted audience really should have been people like us or older, right?
Right.
And they really seem to try to target it more towards the younger audience.
Right. They want to sell merchandise, and I'm not saying that's their sole target. I'm just saying that there's a lot of reasoning why they would want it to appeal to kids. I get that.
Right. But the thing about Star Wars is that, like you said, the saga was something we grew up with.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, kids nowadays are interested in Star Wars and want to see it. But, you know, we grew up with this. Like, we've been waiting, right? We've been waiting to hear the rest of the story.
This is it.
And it
this
just
is
didn't
it. This
feel
is
like it was...
This is it.
It just didn't feel like it was tailored to the correct audience.
And
to me, that's the way it feels, and that's just my personal opinion.
Right.
They weren't terrible movies. I was like, man, it's not entirely...
This was not the one to mess up, man.
Yeah, well... Like you said, it's not your art project, right?
Right.
You
don't like... Right. It's not an art project, but it's interesting how we naturally gravitate towards things like that, whether it's books or movies.
What I always think is interesting about art is that it is literally things that you've created in your mind and you're bringing to life.
Yeah.
You're literally bringing to life your thoughts, your images in your mind. And whether that's through film, whether that's through dance, music, painting.
Absolutely.
Writing books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all creating something that didn't exist until you brought it into existence. Think about that. You brought it into existence. And
you created it.
I think that's one of the fascinating things about being a human being, is that as much as at times we curse our intelligence and curse our brains because of the things they do to us, the emotions they give us we don't like, the mental illness, the struggles. It's also fascinating to see what we're able to do with it. We're able to bring thoughts, images that we create in our minds to life and bring it into the real world. No other creature on this planet can do that.
That's even stranger.
Yeah. Once again, what are we doing here, man? Like, I'm confused. Like, I don't understand. You give me this incredible... You give me this incredible tool. And I can't seem to figure out how to use the motherfucker. It really is. It's fascinating. It's like one side of me says we're just a miserable, awful little creature that needs to be eradicated. And the other side of me says, man, wow, human beings are like fascinating.
Yeah.
Let me tell you this. So earlier today, my boss was telling me about this event that she remembers. She says she remembers seeing it on TV. I've never seen it, never heard of it.
Okay.
But apparently it was of this woman who swam across the English Channel. Like single, solo swam across the English Channel.
Okay.
Which the English Channel is between England and France.
Yeah.
And
it's pretty damn far, too.
Right, right. So I looked her up, and her name is Sarah Thomas. She's an American, actually, or she's from the United States. And
what year did this happen?
So I mean, she has quite a history of long swims, but this particular one on the English Channel happened in 2019, so just last year, and actually September last year, September 17th, born in 1982.
Wow.
Take it, this woman's only 37 years old. And in 2019, she was the first swimmer to make a quadruple back to and back across the English Channel.
Quadruple.
Back to and back crossing the English Channel. Wow. She did it in 54 hours and 10 minutes. This is somebody swimming at 37 years old. I'm 30 years old, Al. And getting it out of the car hurts sometimes.
That is crazy.
Wow.
Weak.
But you know what brought me to this, though, and reminded me of it, was that we're talking about how fascinating human beings are. I mean, you know, I mean, obviously, me and you are like, there's no way we could do that right now. But somebody spent their time training to be able to do that and was able to do that. Quadruple swam back and forth. The English Channel, I wonder how long that is. The swim itself is approximately 19 nautical miles, which is 38,000 yards.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Okay, 150 miles.
Man, that's a long way to
even walk. 150 miles of swimming. Gosh, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Can you imagine trying to run 150 miles?
Yeah.
No. Trying to hike 150 miles, but swim.
What's the furthest you ever hiked?
Oh, good grief. I mean, probably the furthest, maybe 6 miles.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing crazy. I mean, I've been on harder trails, but it's not always the length that's hard. Sometimes it's the actual trail, going up hills and things like that can make a 2 or 3 mile trail take almost an entire day, depending on how difficult it is. But I've been on some pretty long trails. I always like trails because, to me, they're almost like, it's kind of weird. I use them as a sense of self-reflection.
Yeah.
When I'm on them. I think it's where I can find kind of immediate solace, so I can really kind of be in my thoughts and assess things going on in my life. And so many times I've gone through trails, you know, I've kind of thought about the journey on the trail as being sort of a journey I've experienced in life, if that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I was saying the other day, my girlfriend and I, we tried a trail for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually at Lake Cumberland.
Was this the interdimensional trail?
No, we had never...
Oh, I was thinking... Maybe I was thinking of the Berea Trail.
Oh, no. You're talking about the one from last week.
Okay, gotcha. Go ahead.
But anyways, this is a trail we hadn't tried before, and it's in the Lake Cumberland area.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, right beside the lake. And I had never been on it before. And there were some points in the trail. I remember at one point we got to see this beautiful view that overlooked the lake, and it was kind of the side view we got to go on off the trail. And then there were some spots that got really difficult.
Mm-hmm.
We were really having to go uphill for a while, and there were some spots that were pretty beautiful. We just got to kind of walk through and enjoy nature and see the sights.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were some sections where we got really confused and lost, and I had to really work to kind of figure out. We kind of lost sight of the trail we were on and had to figure a way out. And, you know, I explained it to her the other night. I said, you know what that trail was like? I said, it's kind of what life's been.
Yeah.
It feels like kind of like how life is. Mm-hmm. I'm like, and I told her, so even with me and you, I said, you and I said, we're going through this trail kind of like we're going through life. I was like, there's times that it's hard,
mm-hmm.
but we keep on going. You know, we didn't turn around. We didn't stop and quit and go backwards. We just kept going forward until we finished the trail. I said, there's times it's confusing. What's going on? Where are we going? What does this mean? I'm like, you know, that happens in real life. You know, it's confusing sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and then there's times that it's beautiful. You know, you can just enjoy it and just take it in and really, you know, enjoy it for what it is, you know.
Yeah.
Enjoy its beauty. I don't know. It's one of the reasons why I like hiking, you know, kind of being out there and kind of being on my own adventure and kind of being in my own thoughts, you know. Also helps with creativity, I think, too.
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely. Speaking of creativity, had me thinking about, and we were talking about movies, Star Wars earlier.
Oh, yeah.
So, going into movies,
mm-hmm.
I remember I was thinking back to some of our movies we made, like, in our middle school and high school years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I always remember, do you remember the cleanup series? We had a series that we called The Cleanup.
Yeah. And yeah, as we aged, our films got a little more graphic and intense.
Well, I feel like when we were younger, we did a lot of... what's the term I'm looking for?
Reboots.
Well, our version of we basically try to mimic other films. But I think as we got, I think as we got older, we started getting a little more creative. I think we started branching out and trying a little more interesting things.
That's kind of what you do, right?
And I also feel like, you know,
you're
certainly
inspired and then
we're able to get our hands on a little bit better editing, you know, mm-hmm. technology and stuff. So we could experiment a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, we got older. We wanted to get, you know, our films to be a little more serious. You know, have some action
some
in it.
Grit.
Yeah, you know, we're young boys. You know, we want to have some. You know, we want to show ourselves shooting some guns and having some fun. You know, like badasses
An
on
action
camera.
Action fiesta.
You know. So anyway, so I remember particularly we had this one. Maybe was it a series? Is there more than one?
Well,
no, it was it. It was just that one, wasn't it? The cleanup.
Oh, yeah, part two was going to be a big production.
Right. You know, Mike D in the back with the guy.
The Vendetta was established.
Yeah, that's where that little song you're going to have playing. You're going to have some kind of like Led Zeppelin song playing.
Yeah.
But anyways, I'm getting off track. So anyways, I remember this one film that we made called...
Oh, no. It was what was the Led Zeppelin song?
A Whole Lot of Love, something like it. But anyways, so I remember this particular movie or this film that we made. It was called The Cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, it had like all these, I guess they were kind of like these different like hitmen. Or whatever,
yeah.
Or assassins or something. I don't know. Everybody had these interesting characters.
Well, even though we were kind of creating our own content, we still kind of ripped off a lot of ideas.
Yeah.
We borrowed from directors like Quentin Tarantino.
Absolutely, because we love Rodriguez, films like that. We love those guys.
Real
films,
gritty,
you know? Kind
of hardcore movie.
We love the style they had. So yeah. I remember, like, my character, you know, straight ripoff of Desperado or whatever that one was. But, like, I had, like, some guns concealed in a guitar case, right? But I was called, my name was El Guitarista.
El Guitarista.
And then we had two other guys, two other buddies of ours were kind of like, they're supposed to be like the good guys coming in to take out. I can't remember what was going on. There was some kind of conflict, you know. We didn't give,
obviously,
all, we didn't give all the details. We just wanted to throw you into the action.
Right.
And you just figure it out as we
right.
go along. So anyways, the kind of good guys.
No backstory.
One of them was called Suave Frank. And he was kind of like the ladies' man, you know,
right.
the cool guy. Always had his sunglasses
on. He had
on.
Sunglasses
and he had
on,
Mr.
Yeah.
Clean, which was
Mr.
kind
Clean.
Of like the
Mr.
the
Clean.
More of the intellect, kind of the guy who was driving sort
he
of the
was,
mission
he
here.
He was the methodical killer.
Right. And
he's Agent 47.
And he was Mr. Clean because he, you know, he would never leave a scene unclean. I mean,
right.
he would make sure his work was done.
He was clean.
So anyways, they were after this
Mr.
other
Clean.
Hitman called the El Guitarista.
Your
and
character.
That was me, yes. Mm. And in the process, we ended up getting in a firefight. Shooting each other.
Right.
And as we're firefighting, unbeknownst to Suave Frank and Mr. Cleanup.
Yeah.
Mr. Clean, I'm sorry. Here comes an ally of mine, and his name is Mad Mike.
Mad Mike!
The insanity. The carnage.
The insanity.
The insanity. The berserker. Mad Michael.
Oh, with some heavy metal music
and literally
in the background.
You see this guy come out.
Oh, it was badass.
With like a
Chris.
Heavy gun.
No,
chain
it was badass,
fed. It was like belt fed. He was just unloading, and it was like Mad Mike pops up on the screen. And at this point, I'm out of it. So like I duck out
yeah.
of the way. He not only proceeds to unload
your
an
training
entire
kicks in.
Belt of bullets, 200 some rounds.
My man.
He also manages to throw a grenade.
Oh yeah.
Into the area where Suave Frank and Mr. Clean are taking cover.
Right.
Mr. Clean sees it. He escapes.
Right.
Suave Frank doesn't.
So a third party has become involved now.
Right. So now it's four. Well, at this point, it's two on two.
We just started inventing
two
characters.
Two on two. Right. It's getting crazy, man. Things are over the same. People are throwing grenades.
Yeah.
They've got military-style weapons now. It's getting insane.
Yeah.
So anyway, so a grenade lands in it. Mr. Clean gets out of the way. He's like, Suave Frank. And before he can say anything, the grenade goes off, and Suave
right.
Frank is incinerated. I don't mean blown apart like blood or like he got some shrapnel and it was just enough to take him out and hurt him a little bit or he got out of it. No, he was incinerated. Like you just see the explosion, and Suave Frank is not there anymore. He's gone. And Mr. Clean just goes into this.
Hang on. Because there was a reason for this.
Well, we were learning. It was a learning growing pains. We didn't quite understand
when I was,
editing.
Right,
so all you
or
could
the VFX aspects
so
of it.
So basically, well.
They're very crude. It was very crude.
Right. So basically, you understood to put an explosion there and take Suave Frank out of the picture.
Right.
Just the way it was done, just he got incinerated. So whatever kind of grenades. Whatever Mad Mike's got some kind of modified grenades that are just incinerators. I mean, they just totally just. You know, they're like Pokeballs. They just throw them,
right,
and you're
right.
just not there anymore.
But still, the story was just as intense.
So, anyways,
though.
you're just mortified. Just the Moors, you're like, wow, they're not even using like traditional weapons. They're
right.
using like futuristic wartime weapons or something.
Oh, man.
So, anyways, so
it's got everything.
Mr. Clean is just absolutely destroyed that his
yeah.
partner, his lifetime partner, that he has been a wingman. But anyways, he is so distraught that he just goes into like this stone cold killer mode. And the whole time he's only carrying this pump action like snub nose shotgun with him. And he proceeds
naturally,
to just unload.
That's
like
the most efficient weapon.
He's not even close enough. Like, he's so far off that he's not even hardly
yeah.
hitting him, but he's just unloading on Mad Mike. Just
right.
walking towards
Mad Mike
him. Just walking towards him. He doesn't even care anymore. He's walking towards him.
I'm sorry. I jumped too quick.
Yeah. Doesn't even care. He's just walking straight towards Mad Mike. Mike throws his gun aside and proceeds to pull out a Bowie knife.
It actually was.
So we've gone
It really was a Bowie knife.
We've gone from a light machine gun to a grenade, a evaporation grenade, to a Bowie knife. Now he's going primitive.
Right.
I'm scalping you now. And he runs at Mr. Clean and loading shotgun rounds at him. He gets hit 2, 3, 4 times. And Mad Mike's still coming. Finally, Mr. Clean manages to take his kneecaps out.
Simultaneously.
And just to give you into an idea of how warped our young minds already were, yeah. As this man is on his knees looking up at Mr. Clean. Mr. Clean proceeds to look down.
Don't do it, Chris.
And said, "Hey, Mad Mike." And he puts the shotgun barrel into Mad Mike's mouth. And he just looks dead to the camera. And he looks just dead to the camera and says, "Here's your medication." And then you just hear the shotgun go off and you see like a blood splatter on the camera with his stone cold face still looking dead into the lens. And then he just gets in his car and drives off.
Oh, man.
But right before the camera cuts out, you just get a glimpse of me off to the side when my guitar comes into frame, and you're like, they forgot one. But I just remember that the other day, and I was like, we were some weird kids, man.
What a saga.
Wow.
What a saga.
And creative. Talking about creative minds and art.
You know, there's
we came up with these weird characters. We laugh about it, but we're looking back at it and we're laughing because of how funny it is, interesting it is. You know, we're like,
right.
Wow.
You know, I wrote a script for the cleanup part two.
Really, I didn't know that.
A full script. I finished it. I mean, it was maybe like 8 pages long, but it had the best parts of the plot in it.
Right.
So there was a friend of mine at the time who was really involved in videography. He was actually starting up a business. He just so happened to be generous enough to let me borrow some of his equipment. He knew that I really liked
right.
him. He was just a really good guy. And he helped me out, let me borrow some of his really nice equipment.
Sure.
So we could kind of create these really, we could create a lot better.
We want a better visual stuff, better quality, right.
And to have fun with it.
Sure.
So after I had finished typing this script up, I gave it to him. I said, "Hey, man, you've kind of, you've worked on some movie sets. Like, you've done a lot of that cool stuff. Read it over. See what you think, man." Because I thought it was some badass shit. And I remember I came back to him and he said, "Well, it's pretty interesting."
And you're like, so.
And he made notes for me. And he actually helped me out. He made notes for me.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah, there were really good notes. And I never really thought about things.
Hey, did you ever get any of it shot?
Yes, yeah, we shot. We shot an opening sequence, but just because I kind of had this vision for it, I had gotten real drunk one night and sat down there with some of my buddies, and told them the whole story, told them the plot.
Yeah.
Well, they became so enthralled in this with me, they were like, "Oh my god, we got to make this movie!" Like, we started developing more characters and getting the plot line deeper, deeper than the first draft, than the first copy.
Yeah.
So. We actually got enough people on board to shoot the opening to it. I think I still have it somewhere. And in the opening scene, it's this car driving down a highway. And in the car, there's a guy in the back seat tied up with like a garbage bag over his head. Like, kind of like a bag, so he can't see out.
Right. Like he's like a hostage or something. Right,
right. And there it is. There's Mad Mike driving the car.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, Mad Mike.
So Mad Mike survives.
Yeah, Mad Mike lives somehow. Drives the car. I even had some kind of cool backstory to it.
Even after a shotgun blast is
right.
to the
he had,
face.
He had like a metal replacement in his skull or something.
So he's gone even more mad now.
When people try to hit him.
Part of his brain's gone even more mad.
Their hands get hurt against his metal skull. But anyways, he had survived. So here Mike was cruising down this open highway with this character in his back seat, with this guy in the back seat with a bag over his head. So at some point, he ends up pulling off on the side of the road. And when he pulls up, he like pulls out a big-ass cigar and starts smoking it. And it's this really badass sequence. And then all of a sudden, the camera pans out, and you can now see both windows of the car. And he just turns around. So he just turns around all of a sudden and shoots the guy in the back seat. And I've got this really crazy shot of the back of the window with this blood splatter hitting it. And then, boom, title screen. And that was the opening to the movie.
Ba-dam, ba-dam.
Fuck, I would watch it.
Wow. Wow, intense. Shock yeah. value. Some of that good shock value. Yeah, man. I say we got to make it at some point.
Finish it, right?
Yeah, what's it going to be called? Is this going to be called The Cleanup 2, or do you have another idea for it?
I don't know. I kind of end up going in a different direction. So it's an ever-evolving story for me.
Yeah.
Obviously, it started from this funny, kind of goofy childhood video that we made, but it always kind of grew into more a bigger narrative.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I've already thrown around some ideas of something new. Who knows? Hey, speaking of young and interesting people, I'm not much of an art person, but you are, so I've come to kind of appreciate it through you. Mm-hmm. Like, because you do paintings, and I think they're mm-hmm. really interesting. They're really cool. So a friend of mine, his son makes, like, digital art. Really? Like graphic yeah. kind of art. Yeah. So I bought a piece of art the other day. So,
really?
So his son's probably, I don't know, maybe 12 years old, but he's, like, taller than me already. Mm-hmm. And he made this art piece. I think it was for maybe a school project or something like that. But my buddy had texted it to me just because he sends me interesting things. It's a woman screaming, but it's like a real photo. It's a real photo of a woman. And she's screaming and has like laser eyes and gargoyle wings. And around her, there's all this crazy stuff happening. And it's really badass.
Wow.
I told him, I was like, hey, I would like to buy that. I want that painting.
I want it.
Like, it's cool. And it was really oh, yeah. neat. It was really neat. It was really That's cool awesome. To see somebody young kind hey. Of, they were exploring these things. And it's right. really cool to see somebody making really neat things.
Right. And I think it's great that you're supporting somebody like that at a young age, exploring their art, because I think that's how you promote it. You know,
well, I think it's a victory for both going. Parties, man. If you Absolutely. If you enjoy it and somebody creates it, then that's a win for everybody.
And that's what I'm saying. So you look at that and you think it's interesting.
It
but
is really
this
cool.
kid sat down and in his mind created an image that he brought to life that was yeah. not in existence until he brought it
yeah.
to life. Yeah. That's fascinating, dude.
Or even aspects of it, yeah.
That's being human, man. That's crazy.
Yeah.
The human
It
experience.
Was really cool. I love it, man. I think it's awesome.
That's awesome, for real. I think art is something that I hope never dies in humankind.
Hmm. I think well, it's almost necessary to an extent, right?
I think it's part of our humanity. Hmm. And I think without it, I don't
know.
To
create.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, really, there's art in everything, right? Because everything is a I'm creation
sure.
of.
It's, I mean, yeah, you could
even
see,
like sports,
you can see art. In
somebody
anything,
had to use
right.
creativity to invent basketball, right?
Sure, absolutely.
So it is an art form to someone.
Yeah, I mean, art's everywhere. You know, it's fascinating.
Mm-hmm. I think it's necessary.
Absolutely.
Well, that's a good, happy, thoughtful note to end on.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
All right, brother. Well, as always, we'll meet back in the same place next week.
All right, man. Till next time.
Everybody stay true, stay real, stay righteous.